The Stanley Cup Finals are two games in. It does seem a bit one-sided, although through two periods, 2-2 in game one, Vegas opened up a third period can. That was that. And then whatever happened yesterday, Lindsey Brown, our Western Conference correspondent, at Lindsey Brown 35 on Twitter. All right, LB, is it? I didn't think it was as one-sided through game one. Yesterday looked a little different to me. What did you see?
Yeah, yesterday was just an onslaught from the get-go, and it really starts with that Aiden Hill save early in the first period on a breakaway. And what Florida's MO is that they're going to go to the box. They're going to mix it up, and they're running into a team in Vegas that doesn't have the greatest of special teams, but can score on you from any point in their lineup. And now they're getting scoring from their defensemen, which they hadn't been getting all season long. That's really, I think, what has led them to be so successful in this postseason was the overall diversification of their offense, especially last year. So much of it ran through Alex Pietrangelo through the top of the offensive zone. And now under Bruce Cassidy, a lot of that's low to high. Sometimes you get those rushes that they're so used to as a brand, but everything and everyone is involved. And so you almost have to play a brand that's adjacent to yours if you're in Florida going forward, because you have to find a way to keep Matthew Tkachuk on the ice. More like Matthew Tkachuk has to find a way to keep himself on the ice, because they just don't have the bodies to keep up with Vegas. And I know that there's probably some tough feelings had in your neck of the woods, because to see a team so quickly dismantle yours and then start getting their butts kicked over here, you're like, well, what the heck happened? What was going on? I'm still surprised that your squad, the Carolina Hurricanes, were able to make it as deep as they did, because so much of their scoring talent had gone out due to injury, and that's what Vegas has. Vegas has depth, Vegas has scoring, and has all the momentum going into game three in Florida.
I mean, just to go back to the Hurricane series with Florida, Lindsey Brown is joining us here, and then we'll try to add up all the misconducts that we saw last night. Carolina got so much of their offensive support from their blue line, but in general, those goals don't come, you know, below the hash marks between the circles, and that's really where Florida could have been exploited. Carolina was unable to really make Florida's defense, and because that looks like it is a serious liability, it couldn't make Florida's lack of defense matter. Lack of defensive, I mean, I think Florida's forwards played very well defensively, but their defensemen are not very good, and Carolina just couldn't make them pay for that.
Yeah, no, that's some really good insight, Adam, because when you have the talent that you guys had go out, where you have Svechnikov out, Pacioretty's out, then all of a sudden you're tasking guys like Aho to not just score, but do everything else. We need you to create space for yourself, but also score when you get in that space. And there's only so much water in the well. And this is a long playoff season. This is a war of attrition. That's why it's the hardest trophy to win in sports. And so Vegas has that ability to challenge the Florida Panthers. And it's just really been given like a pass go and collect $200 through every zone. I'm shocked about how easy it is for Vegas to move the puck up the ice. And maybe it's just a little bit too much too late in the season for Florida. But as I said, they're not doing themselves any favors. Like, they're not giving themselves a true chance to compete because they're so focused on after the whistles. Like, the amount of physical altercations between whoever's in front of the net and Aiden Hill is fascinating to me. Because, like, as a former goalie, you never want to get too high or too low. And some guys can walk that line. Like, Jordan Binnington is somebody that constantly falls over that line. But Aiden Hill can mix it up in this series, because when you look at what's going on otherwise, like that hit that Gudas tried to lay on Ivan Barbashev last night, that reverse hit, I was like, holy crap, that is a collision. Gudas hit return. It was the biggest collision I'd seen in a minute until this end of the second period when Tkachuk tried to line up Eichel. Like,
right.
You got to be better. And you could say, well, that hit didn't deserve a 10-minute misconduct, and I would agree with that. But if you're running around with your head cut off and swinging all the time, you're going to say, yep, you're a problem child, into the corner, into the locker room you go. And that's where Florida has put themselves in a precarious position so far.
And I think that's a very important point, because to me that was a reputation call. That was a way, this is what Florida's doing. Because I thought Eichel's, the Tkachuk-Eichel hit, and Eichel said after the fact that, yeah, I got no problem with it. He was already kind of stumbling down anyway and lowered himself. And I think if the more you look at it, the more you realize that Tkachuk understood that he didn't want to injure Eichel, because Tkachuk went out of his way, it seemed to me, to make it shoulder to shoulder. There was no head contact, right?
Yeah,
I thought Tkachuk, right? But I thought Tkachuk really not took pity on Eichel, but actively avoided it being much. He could have lit him up. Tom Wilson.
Oh yeah,
we don't have Jack Eichel's no longer in this series. If that is a Sam Bennett, who I think has no qualms at all about delivering that kind of hit.
No, and I think that speaks to Matthew's awareness, because it was going to be a clean hit. And if Eichel hadn't stumbled, he might have been, you know, knocked into next Tuesday. We don't know that. But in terms of the way that Tkachuk approached it, where he kept his shoulder low, he kept his elbow low, he didn't leave his feet. Like, those are all those things that you look. And then obviously direct head contact that you look for when you see big-time collisions like that. And that's why that's a clean hit, even if Eichel does stand up. And sometimes those clean hits end up being ones that concuss you. And so I was a little shocked to see Eichel come back, because I'm sensitive to concussions, and I'm sure he's fine and he was able to play. But sometimes those things can kind of onset later on. But, you know, that's the great thing about Matthew Tkachuk and why he's such a unique superstar in this league, is that he understands the harder parts of his game. Like, his dad taught him. He trained all his life with his brother Brady, who's the captain of the Ottawa Senators, and a lot of that great talent that kind of bubbled up from St. Louis, that has a really good youth hockey program. But everybody has that maturation process, and it's different things to different guys. Like, what Matthew Tkachuk is going through right now is what I liken to what Brad Marchand went through about 5 or 6 years ago under Bruce Cassidy, where he's like licking Ryan Callahan's nose. You're like, what are you doing? Like, honestly, what are you doing, Brad? What are you doing, Matthew? You're such a good player. You're so talented, you're so effective, and you're out here trying to settle scores. Like, there's a fine line between the two, and I know that he's a net front presence and he likes to establish that, but you gotta taper it back a little bit. And this is his first time in the final. Everybody has their learning experiences. I mean, there's so much cup experience in the Golden Knights locker room. Those have lost it, those that have won it, everybody kind of understands what needs to be done and when to take a beat and not look to like punch somebody out. Like, Nick Hague's getting sucker punched in a headlock, and he's just smiling because he knows that at the end of the day, we're gonna have one more person on the ice than you are, because you've made one more extra move in the aggression category.
All right, two quick things before we have to say goodbye to Lindsey Brown, at Lindsey Brown 35 on Twitter. You said you're a former goalie. I think goalies are always goalies. But let me just, was this a record for 10-minute misconducts? Wayne Gretzky said that the last time he had seen that many 10s was during the 1976 Olympics with Nadia Comaneci. I mean, is that a record? And by the way, what was Eric Staal's abuse of officials?
Those are two questions that I don't have full clarification on. I'm guessing, and every time you have abusive officials, means that you're running your mouth. Like, you're running your mouth. You're saying something when the conversation was supposed to be done, and you won't shut up. So it's just some other misconduct. But in terms of like the record, I mean, it's certainly up there. I think it's in the top 3 or 4 penalty minutes for one game. It was like over 100 something, but that's Florida's best game right now. And if that's what their best game is, they have no chance. They have no chance, because it's just Vegas been able to even turn on their power play to be a little bit more. It's picking a great time to start clicking. And so Florida's got to figure something out. Florida's got to be able to play better in front of their own goaltender. There's a lot of people that say, like, Bobrovsky, he sucks. Like, he's like, it's not his fault. Nobody was playing defense. How do you have Jonathan Marchessault so wide open, crashing in the slot in that third period, and Eichel hits him with that pat? I'm like, yeah, it's definitely the goalie's fault there. They were just running around. They don't know what they're doing, and they need to focus up. I was kind of shocked with how lax Paul Maurice was in his post-game comments in game one. Just everybody remain calm, right? Game two, he didn't sit down. He stood the whole time.
He did.
So there's a shift coming.
Yes, there is. And with an extra day between games, I mean, I personally believe we're in here for a long series, but Vegas's game travels. They have not had much trouble winning on the road in the series. How do you see this going forward, resuming Thursday night?
Well, originally before the series started, I said, nights and six. And you're right about their road formidability. That's been true in the postseason. It was true during the regular season. They had actually a much better road record than their home record. And so the last two series, they've also clinched on the road as well. And so I expect Florida to take at least one of the games. I mean, I would love a seven-game series just for all of us because, you know, once the series is done, hockey's gone for a little while and I can get out of the press box snack. But I think they get it done on the road, but it'd be really nice for them to get it done at home in front of the fans that have obviously become one of the most favorite fan bases in the entire league. And selfishly, I want to get on the ice when the cup's being passed around. So that would be fantastic for me and the brand.
All right, what is the top snack at T-Mobile Arena in the press box?
Oh, I'm just hand over fisting popcorn and M&Ms, and then I got to go get a Shake Shack hot dog, and then I got home and ate pizza. Like, this is an absolute disaster plan. I wouldn't have to spend twice as much time on the bike today, on that stationary bike, as your promo was saying. They're not so fun, are they?
No, they're not. Lindsay, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adam.
You got it. At Lindsay Brown 35 on Twitter.
I love when our promos are actually relevant.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I know.
Popcorn, M&M's in the popcorn. I get it. Delicious. I want Shake Shack hot dogs.
I know. Now I want all of the above.
Yeah, we get popcorn. We get gummy bears. What are the sour gummy? What are those?
Oh man, sour gummy worms.
We got we have sour gummy worms as well. Those are dangerous. We got to stay away from those.